for Jesus Christ. All right? We're all called. We all have a part to play. We're on a team here. All of us working together are here to reach the nations. Just one person doing it, it's not going to happen. But as we all do our own parts, it's going to happen because God's placed us all together strategically to do this. All right? What is your part? What has God called you to do in reaching the nations? And that's what we've been talking about the past few weeks is what is your part? What does God want you to do? Specifically you. Because we all have a part to play. We're all called to the nations. I want y'all to say this. Reaching the nations. I want all of you to say it loud. Reaching the nations is my responsibility. I can make an impact. Some of y'all don't believe that. Some of you don't believe that you can make an impact. You look at your life and see how you've messed up and how you've goofed up and you think, I don't have any talents. I can't make an impact. Well, by yourself, you're right. You can't do it. But see, we have God on our side. God has given us gifts and talents and passions. And when we step out in faith and do what He's called us to do, when we step into the will of God, God has got our back. We're doing it by the power of God and not our own power. And that is why we can make an impact, not because of us, but because of Him and what He wants to do through us. And we got to realize that as we're doing what God has called us to do, it's not by my power, but it's by the power of God, which is the most powerful thing on the planet Earth, in the entire universe. There's nothing more powerful than that, and that's who's got your back. When you step out to do what God's called you to do, He's there to make it happen. It's your job to be obedient. I can make an impact. So how can I find out what my part is? That's what we're talking about. How can I find out? God, what is it that you want me to do? How do I know? And so like we said, God has a plan. He wants to reach the nations. He's going to use the church. That's you and me. So when the nations are reached, all of the nations will worship God. What is my part? Last week, we gave you three ways that you can reach the nations. Today, we're going to give you three more ways to reach the nations. That's six ways for all you mathematicians out there. Six ways to reach the nations, and only one of them is going. Only one of them is leaving American soil to go. There's five other ways that you can reach the nations, and it's not all about just becoming a missionary. I believe that God has called people to be missionaries. They're called to go. They're called to spend their life on foreign soil witnessing to a people group that's not their own. I believe God has called people to that. If God has called you to that, I pray that He is opening your eyes to that. He's opening your heart to that. And I want to help in any way that I can to see that you make it on the field and fulfill God's purpose in your life. But last week we talked about three. Number one was learn. I believe it's all of our responsibility to learn what God is doing. Because God is at work in the world today. God is in the business of bringing people into salvation, to getting people into heaven. God is working. Lots of times we look around here and we get excited, you know, when one or two people get saved, and that's wonderful. But there's some places in the world where there's thousands of people coming to Christ every single day. God is at work doing something in this earth. And we need to know about it. We need to know what God's doing. Because lots of times we get caught up in our American Christianity and we see everything through we think everybody's got just the gospel available to them all the time like we do. But there's places in the world that's never even heard the name of Jesus. It's never been spoken in that part of the world. We need to learn. Ignorance is no excuse for not fulfilling God's purpose in your life. I believe we're all called to learn. What is God doing? Who is it that we need to be reaching? How can we reach these people? How are you going to reach out to a Hindu if you don't know what they believe? How are you going to reach into someone's world if you don't know what their culture is like? How are you going to reach into their culture? You can't. We've got to learn. We've got to educate ourselves in what God is doing and where He wants us to serve. And we need to learn all that we can about whatever it is. We can read articles. We can read books. There's lots of websites out there that give tons of information. One of the best websites out there for missions is joshuaproject.net. I mean, tons of information, talks about the different people groups. We said last week that there's over 16,000 different people groups in the world today. And this website has information on over 16,000 people groups in the world today. It's amazing what it does, and all kinds of resources and research. And if you're a nerd like me and you like that kind of stuff, you want to go to this website. It's amazing. So we need to read. We need to educate ourselves. Take classes. Take classes on different religions, on missions, on just anything that you can to learn about other nations, other religions, other people groups, what God is doing. One I highly recommend is the Perspectives class, which will be offered again in January of this coming year. And I'm hoping I can get it hosted right here at this church to make it available to all you guys real easy. It's open to everybody anyway, but I think if we have it here, it'll be a little bit more, you'll be a little bit more excited about it, attending to it. I have my table set up again out here with all kinds of information, different people groups, how to pray for unreached people groups. We highlighted the Hindu religion out there this week, some facts and stuff about them. I have prayer cards out there again. Hopefully all you who picked up prayer cards last year prayed for your people group every single day this past week. I've got new ones out there. These are people from Nepal, and it's mostly a Hindu country. And there's 30.7 million people living in Nepal. And Nepal's known for Mount Everest. That's where Mount Everest is. It's right on the border of Nepal. And it's just not much bigger than the state of Arkansas, the whole country of Nepal. 30 million people live. There's 3 million people that live in Arkansas. Can you imagine 30 million stuffed into Arkansas? You know, this is what this country is. And 93.5% of the people there are unreached. They do not have access to the gospel. And I have the different people groups out on that table. Go by there, grab one, put it on your refrigerator, pray for that people group every day for a week. I'm not talking about praying for an hour. You can pray, you know, 5 minutes. You know, just every time you look at it, say, God, send people to minister to them. God, open their eyes to the gospel and just pray over that people group. Which brings me to the second thing is prayer. Prayer is the number two thing that we can do. Prayer is the most powerful tool that we have available to us as Christians today, and it's the least utilized tool that we have as Christians. I believe that we've gotten so far away from prayer that most people don't even know how to pray. They don't know what to pray. And most of our prayers are selfish prayers, meaning they're about self. You know, how much do you pray about other people and other people's needs? And how can I be used to help them out? Prayer. You can pray for people groups. You can pray for a specific missionary. Maybe God will lay a country on your heart. Maybe a particular religion God will lay on your heart to pray for these people. Prayer is one of the most powerful things that we can do. And I believe that every single one of us are called to pray for the nations. Every single one of us. One of the ones I picked up this week, it was actually, I was watching some DVDs and stuff that I got in the mail. And one of them that popped up was the Ansari people of India. And these are some poor people that live in the northeast India. And their trade is making the silks, the beautiful silks that come out of India. You know, the Silk Road that used to run through there and all that. These are the people that made a lot of those different things. They're big into making silk blankets and shirts and stuff like that and wood carvings and all that. But they're very poor people because the people who come in and buy their stuff take advantage of them. And they go and sell it for so much more. And God just laid them on my heart this week. And every day I've been praying for the Ansari Indians and that God would send laborers into that field to harvest and that God would open their eyes to what Jesus really is to them. And prayer is one of the most powerful things that we can do, and we never even have to leave our own house to do it. It's reaching the nation. So number one is learn. Number two, pray. Number three is send. And we're not just talking about sending money. I believe true senders do more than just give to missions. I believe they pray for missions. They give money to missions. I believe that they encourage the missionaries that are out on the field. They send letters and cards and emails and care packages. And a true sender, I believe, God gives them a passion for a certain missionary or missionary group. And they put all of their efforts into supporting that person or that group. And it's just amazing what encouragement can be when someone on the mission field knows that there's someone back home praying for them every single day. That they get letters from them and just encouraging. Because it can be very discouraging out there. Because missionary work is not easy. You're out there amongst, you know, loads of people that don't believe you. There's some that want to kill you. There's some that want to get rid of you. And they need encouragement. They need prayer. We all need that in our lives. And I believe true senders support, pray, and encourage. So how can I get involved? What is my part? Let's talk about the other three today. Are y'all ready? Nobody's ready. We're going anyway. We're pushing on. Don't care what y'all say. No. Number one is welcome. As I was growing up, history class, they called America the great melting pot. All of the different cultures and religions and people from all over the world want to come to America because it was the land of opportunity. They wanted to make a better life for themselves. And still today, we have immigrants coming in all of the time to make a better life for themselves. What an amazing opportunity that the nations are coming to us and that we're not ministering to them. See, so many people are coming in. Thousands and thousands of people are coming in every day. Are we welcoming them into America? See, this is a big political issue right here. Immigration. We need to close the borders. We need to do this, do that. As Christians, we need to see this as an opportunity because the nations are coming to us. Are we taking advantage of this opportunity? We should be excited to see when the Muslims move into town. We should be excited. We shouldn't protest and don't let them put up a mosque. We should get excited that they're coming to us and we have an opportunity to share the gospel and not even have to leave our own hometown to do it. Immigration is a good thing for Christianity because lots of times they'll come here for a little while, they'll work, they'll make a living, and they'll go home. What would it look like if we targeted the immigrants with the gospel? They get saved and they go home. They're missionaries in their own hometown. They're able to start churches. They're able to lead people to Christ and do amazing things. We can have an impact on the world by the people who are coming to us. One huge opportunity we have right here in Batesville is the Hispanic population. We have lots of them coming in and working and I hear lots of people griping and complaining about the Hispanics. Thank God they're coming. Let's do something. Let's reach out to these people because they're coming to us. We don't have to go anywhere. We can share the gospel with them. There's very few churches in this town that are reaching out. Very few churches. And I'm not saying we have to have a Hispanic service here. But there are churches that are doing something. If that's on your heart, go find these churches. I know there's a Hispanic church over in East Side. That's what it is. They minister to the Hispanics. It has a Hispanic pastor. Hook up with them. Do what you can to reach out to these people. It's a huge opportunity right here to welcome. Another opportunity we have is at Lyon College. They have international students come in every year. There's 10 to 15 international students that come in to study. And one beautiful thing about the college age is they're very open. They're searching. They're trying to find the meaning of their life. They're learning. They're ripe for the picking. It's a huge opportunity because a lot of the international students, they just don't let anybody be international students. It's the brightest and the best that they send out to be trained so they can come back to their nation and be leaders. Why not reach out to the international students? Reach them, and so when they go back to be leaders in their country, they're going to have Christian leaders in their country. People of influence in the country that are Christians that can make a huge impact. There's all kinds of opportunities to welcome as they come to us. Right there. Let's read the scripture. That's always a good thing, right? Matthew chapter 25. Let's hear those Bibles. Pages turning. Just kind of rattling a little bit. Mine are very quiet. Anyway, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Jesus is talking. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All of the nations will be gathered in His presence. He will separate the people as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in to your home. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous ones will look, well, in reply and say, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothes? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will say, "I tell you the truth. When you did it for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me." We need to be welcoming. We need, when we see people who are not like us come into our neighborhood, to come into our town, to welcome them with open arms and share and show them the love of Christ that they might not ever see in their own country. Welcome. The second one we're going to talk about today is mobilize. Mobilize. What mobilization is, it's encouraging and enabling others to do what they're called to do. That's what I've been doing for the past few weeks. I've been trying to mobilize you to action. I've been trying to encourage you and enable you to do what God has called you to do. And this comes in many different forms. Many different forms that we can do this. One thing that you can do is you can become an advocate, maybe for a specific people group. It might be a cause. One of the things I have on the table out here is a documentary about human trafficking. And it's one of the kind of the big causes these days that people like to talk about. Children all over the world being kidnapped and sold into slavery, into sexual slavery. And it blows my mind that parents would sell their little daughter to go be a sex slave. And it just blows my mind that anybody would be able to do that. But it's happening all over the world. In fact, this article that I have back here on the table, it revolves around the World Cup last year. And one of the major money makers at the World Cup was sex slavery, was human trafficking. They sent in these kids from all over the world to where the World Cup was happening. And that was the big money makers that year, was sex slavery. And it's a sad deal. And there's things that we can do. Maybe God is calling you to be an advocate, to speak out against human trafficking. It might be hunger, or maybe building wells, or there's all kinds of causes out there that I believe that are inspired by God. That God is raising up a group of people that will speak out against these things. Maybe that's what God wants you to do. Maybe God wants you to mobilize people to get involved and making things change in this world through these different causes. Maybe you can volunteer with a mission organization. There's all of these mission organizations down here need people in the States working and volunteering to help them do what they're called to do overseas. In fact, I was kind of reading through some this week, and one of the websites I was reading, they needed people to volunteer to go to some of these big ministry conferences. If anybody's ever been to a big conference, you always have the vendors set up and they're advertising their product or whatever their cause or mission is. And they need people to go to these conferences and volunteer their time to represent this particular organization and their mission and what they're doing. It's something that you would never have to leave America to do, but it's something you could volunteer to do to help out this mission organization. You know, there's tons of mission organizations that need people right here in the States to help mobilize people. And again, on this table out here, I have websites and all that kind of stuff that they're looking for volunteers. In fact, one of them that caught my attention was there's a ministry in Zambia that's actually looking for someone who can come in and teach basic computer skills. And I was thinking, man, I can do that. I mean, I love computers. I know kind of the ins and outs of stuff. And basically, this person they teach basic computer skills to their workers and the people that they're bringing in to train for ministry. And they kind of keep up all the computers there on site in Zambia. And they're looking for someone to make a 2-year commitment to come in and do that. I mean, what an opportunity for someone who might not be called to preach, but they can go use their computer skills to make a difference in someone's life. We can volunteer with mission organizations. You might organize a small group study, maybe about a people group or a certain, maybe you're studying a different religion and how you can reach the people in that religion. Set up a small group that encourages people to get involved. Help organize a missions trip for the people in your church or your friends or your family. One I highly encourage is take the perspectives class. Take the perspectives class that maybe helps start other perspectives class in the area. One huge one that we have is Facebook and Twitter. One thing that I've been doing a lot this week is reposting the unreached people group of the day. And I'm trying to mobilize people to pray for these different people groups every single day. And it's a way that you can reach out to all your friends, however many you have on Facebook. You can hit them all at once and try to mobilize them that way. It's encouraging people to do what God has called them to do. Mobilization. The last one I want to talk about today is go. Is to go. I saved this one for last on purpose. Because most of the time when people think about missions, they think, you know, I got to go. I got to go live in Africa. And I don't want to do that. There are tons of ways that you can reach the nations. One of them is to go. Now, I believe that every able-bodied Christian should go on a missions trip. Get out of the country, whether it be for a week, for 2 weeks, for a month, whatever. I think every able-bodied Christian should go to see what it is like. Because the rest of the world does not look like America. It does not look like this. And I believe as you go, God will open your heart and just ignite a passion on the inside of you for missions and doing that. Short term, you can go short term, either for a week up to 6 months, long term, 6 months to forever. You know, whatever God calls you to do. I believe that God is calling people to be full-time missionaries. Maybe there's someone sitting here today that God's saying, that's you. You're supposed to be a missionary to wherever. I want you to be open to that. Jesus told us to go and make disciples. He very literally means we need to go. We need to go. One of the opportunities, and a lot of the missionary organizations use, is that you can use your profession in order to do missions. There's people that need houses and churches built all over the world. There's a great need for teachers. There's a great need for doctors and nurses to go overseas and attend to people who are sick. There's, no matter what your profession is, it can be used for the glory of God in other countries to reach the unreached. See, I believe God has given us all passions and gifts and talents, and He wants us to use them for His glory, and He wants us to use them to the nations as well. No matter what it is that God has called you to do, whatever it is that you're doing here in the States, God can use that for His glory in other nations. Students have an amazing opportunity because it seems like the older you get, the more restrictions they put on you traveling to other countries. You can only stay for so long. But as a student who is learning, you can go back and forth almost freely to other countries. And you can go to these countries and study for a year, 2 years without them, you know, trying to check out and see what's going on. If I go over there as a minister, they're going to be checking on me. They're going to be like, what are you doing? What's your business here? If you go as a student, they're like, oh yeah, come on, learn. Stay as long as you want. Students have an amazing opportunity to go to the nations and preach the gospel and learn in these different cultures. Maybe you can just contact a missionary. There's lots of missionaries that we support here that you can contact and give you opportunities to go. Ernest E. Hobby, he's a missionary to Cameroon. He's actually one of those, he came to America to learn. He was an international student. He went to Arkansas Tech. And as he was here, he got saved. And now he's a missionary back in his own country of Cameroon. making a huge difference and a huge impact there. Great opportunity. You can contact him and he can give you opportunity to go on a mission trip. Mission of Mercy, Never Thirst, or some of the other ones that we have partnered with here at this church that we have relationships with that we can connect you with. If God is calling you to go, we want to help you go in whatever that looks like. So the six things that ways that we can reach the nation, we can learn, pray, we can send, welcome, mobilize, and go. Guys, it's our responsibility. Reaching the nations is my responsibility. My question to you is, what is your part? Maybe you're asking, how do I find out? I don't know. I feel like God wants me to do something, but how do I know for sure? Number one, you can ask God. You know, he's the one in charge of everything, right? He says in James chapter 1, 5, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. And he will not rebuke you for asking. Ask God for wisdom. Search your passions. Search your gifts, your talents. See how God can use those to reach the nations. Prayer team, if you will go ahead and come up. Maybe God needs you to fast and pray about it. Man, that's a dirty word, right? Fast. Let me tell you something. Fasting and praying is one of the best things you can do to find out the will of God for your life. In fact, that's one of the things that I'm trying to work into my life. And there's about three times throughout the year where I'll fast and pray and seek God's direction for my life. What God, what do you want me to do? God, what do I need to focus on? God, what do I need to change? And there's something about when you're denying yourself something in your life where you're sacrificing for God that it opens you up for him to be able to speak into your life. Maybe God's calling you to a people group. Maybe he's going to put a nation on your heart. Maybe he's going to put a cause on your heart. Maybe he's going to put a particular missionary or missionary group on your heart. Be open. What we're going to do here in just a second is that I want us to pray. Because statistically, 80% of you, if you left here today and you haven't prayed yet, you're not going to do it. I mean, that's just, on average, that's what happens. We leave a church service and 80% of us will just forget about it. So I want to give you an opportunity right now to pray, to ask God, God, what is my part? God, what do you want me to do? God, what have you called me to do? Guys, if you can go ahead and put up that slide. Is it up there? Awesome. But as we're going to sing a song here in just a second, we got our prayer team up here. If you need someone to pray with you about anything, it doesn't have to be about reaching the nations. If you need any prayer for any reason, they're open. But I want us all to pray. I want us all to ask God, give me wisdom. God, ignite a passion in me. Show me how you can use my skills and my gifts. God may call you to fast and pray. But I want you to be open. So right now, I just want you to put everything out of your mind. I don't want anybody going to the bathroom, nobody getting up. This is an important time. This is the most important time of the service right here. But I want you to put everything out of your mind, the burgers you're going to cook for Father's Day and all of your plans and all that stuff, that's put it all out of your mind. And I want you to focus on God. And as we worship God, ask him, God, what do you want me to do? God, give me wisdom. God, ignite a passion on me, God, for what you have called me to do. So if we could all stand. If you need prayer, just make your way up here and pray with somebody. If you don't need prayer, just sit there and ask God, God, what is it you want me to do?